Blog Talk Radio.
About tonight's program. I hope you are anticipating having a blessed evening, because we are, and we know that you will have a very blessed evening. Hello there, Sister Tasila. How are you today?
I feel blessed, and I'm looking forward to this evening also. I'm going to say hi to all our friends and family from all over the world. God bless you guys for tuning in. And it's a real cold night for California. I know that. I just looked at the thing and said 35 degrees where we are.
Look out. It is. It's cold out there. You know, that song, It's Cold Outside.
All
right, praise the Lord. Yes, and right now what I'm going to ask everybody to do is what I usually ask you to do every week. Pick up your phones or grab your computers, go to your inbox or text your family and friends and encourage them to dial in right now. Our number to dial in is 646-668-8537. That's 646-668-8537. Or just click on the picture or the link where you may have seen this post, okay? If you see the link, just click on the link. If you choose to just listen from your computer, a lot of people do that. They listen to our program from their computer. And on Facebook, you can listen to it tonight and all this week. Just go right back to that post and click on the picture or the link, and you can hear it. Okay, we're also on Instagram, Alignable, and Twitter, and, you know, all of that. Also, you can see us on hsbn.tv. Our show is called The Message of Life. It's on hsbn.tv. You can catch us on YouTube. You can just go to YouTube and put in The Message of Life with T. Meyer and Tasila McCain. Just put that on there, The Message of Life with T. Meyer and Tasila McCain. And last week my wife wanted to tell you how to spell my name. It's T-I-E-M-E-Y-E-R. That's T. Meyer.
This
T. Meyer and Tasila.
Guess what?
Say what?
I've had a lot of people who are asking because they want to purchase the book, Who is God? Unveiling the Mystery. And so you got to go on Amazon and you have to put the right name in, which is Pastor T. Meyer, T-I-E-M-E-Y-E-R, McCain, M-C-C-A-I-N. Some people put in A-N-E, you won't get that. And some people are changing the name. So I just wanted to make sure that everybody knew that it was Who is God, Unveiling the Mystery, Pastor T. Meyer McCain, T-I-E-M-E-Y-E-R.
Yes.
M-C-C-A-I-N, and you will enjoy the book, I'm sure. It is a real traveling good view with the Holy Spirit. Traveling
Amen.
With the Holy Spirit, and he'll give you a
yes.
good view of what is going on and what God is doing, and unveiling of the Word of God is really a beautiful
Amen.
Book.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and it's available on Amazon right now. You can get it in paperback or e-books. You can get it an e-book or electronically. So, and it will be available very soon in audio form as well. So, so go ahead and order that for yourself and for friends and family members. You will be blessed. There's a lot of prayer went into this book, okay? God bless you. And I was talking about the message of life also, that you can see us on hsbn.tv and on also on YouTube. You can go to YouTube, on Roku, On Demand, iHeartRadio, and many, many others. The Message of Life with T. Meyer and Tusila McCain. Okay? And last thing, I just want to invite everyone that's on the phone right now, I'm inviting you to come to church this Sunday and worship with us. We are Church of Jesus Christ Ministry, located at 869 North Euclid Avenue, Upland, California, 91786. And guess what? Our services start at 1:30 p.m. Isn't that something? It starts at 1:30 p.m. And so if you're in the California area, you know, just come on in and worship with us, okay? You will be blessed, I'm telling you. And you will seriously be blessed. So come on and hang out with Pastor T. Meyer and Pastor Tusila, my wife, all righty? Listen, don't go away. When we come back, we'll come back with our special guest for tonight. I'm not going to tell you who it is right now. Some of you probably already know. But just don't go away, and keep in mind, Christians, let's be alert in this hour, because we have to be ready for war. We're in a war.
We got the power.
We got the power.
We got the power.
Hey, you are listening to Christian Talk with T. Meyer and Tasila. And also, we have, wait a minute, what is this? What's going on here? What's going on? Yep. That's it. You waited for it, and here it is. It's that time, Pastor Tasila. It's time for our special guest. And guess who our special guest is tonight? Ladies and gentlemen, our special guest tonight is Pastor Charles Andre Harvey. Hello, my brother. How are you?
Hello, 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 and great, beautiful night.
Praise the Lord. Good to hear your voice.
It is so good to have you on the show.
I am so elated to be here. I'm so grateful to you and your wife. Have been amazing servants of the Lord, and I'm blessed to be in your company.
Praise the Lord.
Oh,
we're blessed.
Well,
it's
the same here. Yes. Amen. Amen. Now, you know, just a little, Pastor Harvey, I'm gonna ask you a few things. Actually, I just wanted the people know that you were born in Baltimore, Maryland, and you pastor at Showers of Blessing Church. And I also want you to tell us a little bit more about Strictly Beauty. What's that all about?
God has given me so many gifts in my life. Strictly Beauty came about because when I was a kid growing up in Baltimore, I saw some of the women in my family doing hair. And so I learned how to do hair that way, and I ended up going to school and receiving my credentials. So Strictly Beauty comes from hairstyling and cosmetology.
Oh, okay. I know that you have an extensive background. You've been in the music business, and you've worked with a lot of well-known people. You want to tell us a little bit about that? Because we're going to actually, bottom line, we're going to get to your testimony, but I just want to give the people a little background about you.
Absolutely. You know, first of all, let me say this, that the dream is possible. Me coming from Baltimore, Maryland, and everything that I said that I wanted to do, I have been fortunate enough to do. From singing with Patti LaBelle, I met her in Washington, D.C., and ended up singing with her. And her band actually did my first single. Came out to California not knowing a soul, but had my dream and ended up meeting Herb Alpert and my godmother. I have a couple of godmothers, but my lady by the name of Blinky Williams, who took me as her godson. You've probably heard her voice, but may not know her name. She was in the movie Lady Sings the Blues, and also one of the singers on Good Times. One of the theme song of Good Times. And she's been another blessing in my life. Barry White told me a whole lot about the business. I would end up singing with Aretha Franklin. And, I mean, there's so many entertainers that I have been fortunate enough to meet and to talk with. Denise Williams and Ali Woodson from The Temptations, and even Richard Pryor. I met Richard Pryor just by saying that I wanted to meet him. And I ended up meeting he and his wife Jennifer.
Wow.
It's been a journey.
A good journey, and I know that you learned a lot from that journey. I'm going to play a little something. You let me know if this is familiar to you. We'll play a little something. Hold on.
You know, I've been searching all my life.
Available on Apple Music and a few other platforms, and you know that song and the video is absolutely extraordinary. Actually, as a songwriter, that's a beautiful song. Yes, for the first time, ain't nothing quite like your first.
Yeah, praise the Lord. Okay, all right. I just wanted to, you know, just to kind of give you a little shocker.
Yes, for the first time.
Yeah, let's tell us about your journey with the Lord. I mean, bring us up today, even with your testimonies for today. Just go ahead and start us as early as you want to and bring us up to where you are now and what the Lord is laying on your heart for the people.
You know, receiving a call from the Lord to do ministry or do the work, I never, ever felt worthy to be a carrier or a teacher or a preacher or any of that. Never felt worthy to be even prophesied. And the Lord had called me, and I was on the treadmill running from him as if I was going anywhere because of his heavenly presence.
Right.
But when I finally accepted his call for my life, everything actually fell into place. I heard from him on numerous occasions. Even I think I was sharing with you on Sunday, even the text messages, and this was just all throughout my life where he got my attention and wanted to let me know that he's there for me and has been there, and that, you know, as one of his own who has called me to do this, it's been a powerful, powerful journey. And the latest thing that happened about a year and a half ago, almost 2 years ago, I was in my truck, and the Lord spoke to me, and he said, "You have cancer in your stomach." And as he's telling me this, I'm listening attentively to not just what he's telling me, but his instruction on top of it. He says, "You have cancer in your stomach, but do not worry about it. It's going to look bad. You know, it's going to look bleak, but do not worry because it's going to be all right." And when he told me that, it took me a minute for it to register and for me to process in my mind all of what he told me. And then once I processed it and came to grips with it, I didn't argue like I normally would have, but I came home and I spoke with my wife and my godmother, and I told them what was going on and what the Lord had told me, verbatim what God told me. I explained to them, and the process, I mean, from the time that I spoke it and I went to the doctors, and even when I told the doctors that I'm here because I have cancer in my stomach, and the doctor looked at me bewildered. And so after running tests, they saw the cancer in my stomach, and he sent me to an amazing oncologist who gave me a plan. And subsequently, I ended up divorced because of what everything that was going on at the time, because some people are only in your life for a season, and when things fall down on you, you see who's really, really with you or without you.
Yeah.
And so I had some of this I had to go through alone because of the fact that it's internal. It's not external. It's nothing that no one could do. But one of my uncles in Baltimore, he said, it's your fight. You're the only one that can fight this. And I appreciate him telling mm-hmm. me that. And a lot of my family will reach out and call me to see how I was doing and offering anything that they could do to help me. And I do appreciate that. And when I had the surgery just a little bit of a month ago on the 19th of January, the surgeon came to me after they removed the cancer, which had grown exponentially, by the way. And he said the pathology report showed that the cancer was very, very aggressive. However, we got it all, and you're cancer-free. And he was jumping up and down, but I'm like, well, thank you, Lord. I began to praise God because everything that he said would happen, happened. Everything God said would happen took place, and because of that, I mean, I'm not going to say that during the journey I was like praising God throughout of it. No, I was in pain a lot, and there was times where I literally had to fight for my life because, of course, when you're weak, the enemy wants to come and pour more things on you. But believe it or not, through it all, I was joyful. Even when my wife and I separated and divorced, I was joyful. I have no ill will towards her whatsoever. You know, I can't speak nothing bad about her or anyone because of the joy of the Lord being in me. And I'm so excited because the healing process has taken place. I'm joyful because he continues to show me who he really is. And that, man, it's just a powerful, powerful testament that when God says something. Now, just think about if God never told me that I had cancer and I'm still going on about my days and everything, and you know, I'm wondering why I'm having this discomfort. And most of the time, men, we don't really like to go to the doctors anyway, and I'm not one to go to doctors, or even I don't even like to take medicine. I tell people all the time, I bought a one a day. I took one that day, and I didn't take no more because I don't like taking I don't like taking medication. But being on chemotherapy was not easy at all. That chemotherapy was a horrible experience. And, you know, according to my doctors, they want me to stay on chemotherapy for another two years.
Mm-hmm.
But all in all, I think about the text messages that God sent me when I was in Walmart. You know, and I know some people might find this hard to believe. Okay, God is going to send you a text message. God sends messages all the time, and a lot of times we don't pay attention to the message. And so when he sent me the first message, it said, in quotes, it said, God, and it said, hello. And I read it, and I put it back on my hip because I'm like, okay, didn't pay it no mind. And then the second message came through, and it said, God, in quotations, and it said, why have you forsaken me? I'm here for you now. Don't lose sight of me. And so, I'm in Walmart now. I don't know if you guys remember this show called Candid Camera. I began to look around. I said, somebody about to pop out on me and say something. And so then the third message comes through, and it was Romans chapter 12. And so now, again, I'm looking at my phone, and it's my number it's coming from. It's not, I mean, I'm not sitting here texting myself, you know. And so now I'm getting a little perturbed, because I'm receiving these messages, and again, it didn't dawn on me that God is trying to get my attention. So the fourth message comes through, the fourth message comes through, and it said, Charles Andre Hardy, I feel your every pain. I know your every thought, and I feel your every pain. Just call upon my name, and I will help you. When I read that, I left out of Walmart. I'm surprised they didn't stop me or think I was stealing, because I practically ran out of it and jumped in my car. I could not see because I was crying so much that he took that time to get my attention. And when I got to my destination, I opened up the book to read Romans chapter 12, did not understand one word. And so at that time, you know, but again, I'm so grateful that he got my attention and he still thinks enough of me to teach me so that I could teach others. Because understanding of his word, I have an answer.
Okay, I know you do. But you said that when the Lord spoke to you the fourth time and said, Charles Andre Harvey, I know your every pain. Were you in the middle of the cancer, or at what part of that were you? Or had it happened yet?
At that time of my life, I was going through a tumultuous time in my life, and my church had said some things to me that, quoting scriptures to me, that I'm cursed with a curse, and a few other things. This was before the cancer thing. And so at that time, I'm like, wow. I mean, I didn't even clap back at them or anything. All I said was, everything is not what it seems. But God has the final say, because when he said that last message, I know your every thought, because he knows mm-hmm. the thoughts and the intents of all of us, and even mm-hmm. it's written as well. But he said, I know your every thought. And then he said, I feel your every pain, because no one understood the pain that I had endured, not just from that season, but and from other seasons of my life. But there were so many seasons in my life that pain that I masked by performing and by, you know, hiding those pains as opposed to facing mm-hmm. those pains.
Right, because so I know before that we spoke and you told me you had a lonely childhood and painful childhood also by being left
yes.
alone in a bad season, you know. That's interesting.
Yes.
And I think that, and I know for a fact that God knows everything. He sees everything and he knows everything. And I think he was kind of answering to you for some of those times, too, that you were alone and to yourself.
That was something that bothered me, because I didn't understand a lot, you know, why I was alone. So, I mean, I was the only child. My mother only had me. So it was like I was alone a lot during, you know, my adolescent ages, years, and things of that nature. And I didn't succumb to a lot of things that was in my surroundings. You know, I didn't, mm-hmm. according to society or therapists or things of that nature, I probably should have been on some type of substance or addicted to some type of quote-unquote illegal substance or something like that, but I never had. I never mm-hmm. even tried a lot, any of those things. And I was offered a lot of those things from my youth, even in, as an adult, especially being in Hollywood and in the entertainment industry. I refused. Uh-huh. It just, those things were not for me. They never uh-huh. were for me. So my loneliness was something that bothered me for a long time until, you know, God cured my loneliness.
Mm-hmm.
He set me free from being lonely. But again, I had to admit I was lonely. I had to admit my pain. You know, a lot of times, you know, because of my gifting, I look into the windows of people's soul and see, and God shows me, and I can, you know, and he helps them through me. But I had to even look into my own eyes and see my own pain. And a lot of times I wouldn't even look into my own eyes because I didn't want to admit it or even see it.
Mm-hmm.
But fortunately, I looked into my own eyes, into my own soul, and God showed me my own pain that I've been trying to hide. And it's like, you know, now in retrospect, I'm like, okay, I'm trying to hide something that I know is there, but yet I don't want to see it. Don't want to admit it. You see? So my confession, as I confessed with my mouth and believed in my heart, he began to change it and cleanse me and purify me from those pains that I carried. I carried them. No one carried them for me. I carried them and buried them. But yet they kept on rising and rising and rising. But he got rid of them. And now I can testify about those pains, and I don't feel the pain that I used to feel about them.
Good. He healed you.
Right.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
From the inside. True cleansing. A true cleansing. And that's, you know, that's the thing that we really need, that true cleansing. You know, people talk about the end times and the end times. The end times is coming. He said it. So I'm not concerned about the end times. I'm concerned about the now times. You know, the now times is what's concerning. The end times is going to come. It's going to happen. Everything he said was going to happen, and I'm living proof. Even with the cancer thing, he said it was going to happen. It was right where he said it was. It was right in my stomach, right where he said it was. I could point to it, and I did, because he told me and he showed me, and I'm a walking miracle, because after all of that, I'm still here, and I have a testimony, and I pray earnestly that people that hear this testimony will give glory to God, because it was God who did it. It wasn't me who did it. It wasn't the doctors who removed it, but it was for his purpose, for people to understand that there is a God that sits on high, and he looks down and he says, no, this is my child.
Yeah.
You are worthy. You are worthy. And we need to praise him with all that we have.
Hallelujah.
That's right.
I agree.
So, yes.
Amen.
Okay, so you said that when you got to Romans, you didn't understand, but the Holy Ghost gave you the understanding, right?
The Holy Ghost gave me not only understanding of Romans chapter 12, and I actually read Romans chapter 12 daily, because even though I read it daily, I'm still getting from Romans chapter 12. You know, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. So even daily, even though I read it daily in conjunction with other scriptures, but I'm still getting fed from Romans chapter 12. And there's only 21 verses.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm still getting fed from Romans. Do not repay evil for evil. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. You're not, right. So even in the midst of my wife and I going through the things that we went through, I'm not repaying evil for evil. Give in to wrath.
Right.
Okay, I gave in to wrath because vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay.
Mm-hmm.
In tribulations, be patient in tribulations.
Mm-hmm.
Be patient. As we have many members in one body, but not all members have the same function.
Right.
My pinky toe is just as important as my eyeball.
That's true.
My knee is just as important as my earlobe. You know what I mean? So we all, and in the body of Christ, you know what I mean? It's like sometimes we look at other people's ministry and say, I'm guilty of this. I don't know about you. I would look at other people's ministry and say, oh, my gosh, like they are flourishing and they're doing this and this, that, and the other. And I had 20 people in my church. Why, Lord? But he told me, because I was upset one day. I was preaching to the seats. There wasn't nobody in the church. I was just preaching to the streets like it was a million people in there, and I was frustrated, and I ran outside because I'm like, Lord, you called me to this, and you want me to preach to these teens? He said, yes, I called you to preach. And I went back, and I preached like it was a million people in that church. And then he started bringing people in and things of that nature, and he told me that I'm going to be a teacher because I had asked the question to the people in the church when it started filling up and everything, and I asked this question, Pastor T, I asked the question, and the question was, are you saved? And there was a lot of people, they raised their hand, yes, I'm saved. And so the second part of the question was, what are you saved from? And everybody put their hand down, and they didn't know what they were saved from. And God told me right then and there, He said, I want you to teach, because a lot of people are not prepared for my return. A lot of people don't know my word. They don't. They go to certain churches and they hear a word and they may get saved and they do get saved and things of that nature. But then they don't know the basics of even what salvation is. I'm saved from the penalty of sin. That's what I'm saved from. I'm saved from the penalty of sin. I'm saved because Christ went to the cross and gave up his life, because a lot of people say they killed him. No, he gave up his life. There's a difference.
Right.
You can't kill God.
That's right.
He gave it up. There's a difference. So, you know, he began to teach me so that I could teach others. And I'm forever grateful. And as I said in the beginning, I never felt worthy to even teach or preach anything of him. But again, when he said, I know your heart, I know your every thought, and he knows that I'm like, Lord, And I think I may have mentioned to you, I even argued when it came to prophesying. I said, I'm not going to do it. And I told him straight up, I'm not going to do it. And before I knew it, I was doing it. Because, you know, that obedience, you know, is being obedient. But I did not, because again, I felt that I was not worthy, but God said I was worthy.
Amen. Yeah,
God,
it's not about ourselves. Yeah.
That's what
it is. And then going back to, no, it's not about ourselves, and going back to the being saved. That's interesting, because a lot of times people want to be saved from hell, but they don't want a relationship with the Father. You know,
yes.
People want to make sure that they're going to get in, that they're all right in that area, but they don't really want to pray, talk to the Lord, or they're not even interested in reading the Word.
Yeah.
They just want to make sure they're in a position that they don't go to hell. And of course, no one wants to go to hell, but this is bigger than that. And it's way bigger than that. And this is about a relationship. And I was going back to the first thing you said about Romans 12, present your body as
a living sacrifice. Holy,
it's about
acceptable
that.
Unto God. Which is
it's
your
about
reasonable
that.
Service.
Reasonable service. Right.
Reasonable. It's your reasonable service.
Right.
Do not
but that is not happening either. Right, but be renewed.
Because
and you can't be renewed if you don't read. If you don't read your Bible, you can't be renewed in your mind.
When I read the Bible for the first time, I understood very little. And I would go to some of the people that were my pastors and things of that nature, and I had questions, you know. And so I would ask questions, and they could not give me a definitive answer or something that made sense to my brain. And so I said, well, let me ask the Lord. So I began to ask God questions after questions after questions, and he began to give me answer after answer, even though some of the pastors that I was under could not answer for me, you see. And so the answers that he gave me, I began to share those answers you know, whenever I would go and teach someplace or preach someplace or even in the church that I was pastoring at the time, I would give everything that God gave me because I never, ever stood there and preached nothing about me because some of the pastors I was under, they had a structure. They wanted me to do a three-point sermon and several points, and I could not do it. I could not do it because God said it's not your thing, it's my thing. So I'm trying to stick to the script that, you know, I would get a sermon that God gave me a sermon, but I'm trying to be what the pastor told me I should do. And so how can the Holy Spirit move if I'm not listening to the Holy Spirit, but I'm trying to focus on a three-point sermon? So I could never do a three-point sermon because the Holy Spirit began to move in me. And I remember one of the first times I was preaching a message, and I remember I was scared to speak in tongues out loud in front of anybody because, again, I didn't understand it. And so I'm doing this message, and so I had no control. And so I began to speak in another language that God had given me, the cloven tongues and things when the Holy Spirit come upon you. And so now, not only did he give me the words to say in his language, but he gave me the interpretation. Now, when the interpretation came, I got nervous and scared. I was like, I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to say anything because, again, I get into myself, and I'm very transparent when it comes to my relationship with the Lord. I'm very transparent about it. And so when he told me what to say, I it takes a lot to shut me up, but I wouldn't say a word. And because I was afraid to say a word, and he knows my heart, someone else in the church said everything that he told me to say. Verbatim, on the whole other side of the room.
Can you rephrase that?
Okay, so I was speaking in tongues. He gave me the interpretation. He gave me the interpretation, right? I heard the interpretation of when I was speaking in the heavenly language, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
okay.
I heard
right.
the interpretation. Okay, he was saying what to say to translate what was going on. And so I would not translate it because, again, I was new in ministry. And so, I didn't want to speak in tongues from the giddy-up because I didn't understand. I didn't grow up in nobody's church. I'm not going to pretend like I grew up in somebody's church and was doing this all my life. No.
Uh-huh.
So when he gave me the interpretation, I refused to say it. So somebody who was in, I guess they didn't know exactly what I was thinking and arguing with the Lord when I was up in the pulpit. And so someone on the other side of the church stood up and began to say every word that the Lord said to me verbatim so that God could tell me that, yes, what I have for you and what I'm doing through you is from me. So you have to do what I said to do when I say to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
that's right. If you don't do it, somebody else will.
I'm gonna. But he was giving me a lesson that yes, that even and I kid, it was the very same thing that he told me to say. Somebody else said it.
Mm-hmm.
So the power of God is so real. It's so real.
Right.
It's so
yeah,
real.
I've seen that happen before when the Lord told someone to get up and say something and they didn't and the other person did it because they just wouldn't do it.
I was new in the ministry, and again, a lot of things I did not understand, and I wouldn't allow myself to because, again, you know, the enemy comes in so quickly, you know what I mean, so quickly. To have what it was, I doubted. I doubted what the Lord was telling me. I knew it was the Lord speaking to me. I know that. There's no doubt in my mind. But at the same time, I doubted. and doubt robs and kills. And so, but fortunately, he understood where I was coming from and still allowed me to continue to minister and teach. And when someone calls me with questions regarding the word and things like that, that he gives me answers. I've had people drill me. I mean, people come from every which way about the word, and you know, so many people want to doubt God's word and authenticity and oh well, Jesus is not his real name because there's no J in the Hebrew language, et cetera, et cetera. But you know,
right.
I mean, you can say
right.
what you want to say, but my experience with him says more than whatever you, because if you ain't had no experience with him, how can you really say? And a lot of people that come to me and they tell me about the Bible's not real, et cetera, and a lot of them ain't even read it.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't even read it. They have not even read the book.
Yeah.
So,
especially some of our brethren, our brothers and sisters.
You know,
the one that really gets me is when they say that it's a certain man's religion, and you know, like a white man's religion.
Oh, yeah.
That it was given to the slaves and all this. Jesus was here way before slavery came into view.
I tell people, I'm not religious. I am not. I have a belief. I stand by my belief, and nobody's going to change my belief. Because my experience has given me that. And, you know, I don't get into the religious regimes and things of that nature. However, I do have my belief, and I'm strong in my belief. I'm very strong in my belief. And no one can come and tell me nothing different because, again, I have spoke to God myself, and God has spoken to me not once, but, I mean, countless times. I mean, we could be here all week. And I could tell you so many different stories of how when he spoke to me at funerals, when he spoke to me on, you know, showing me things where my relatives are in glory, he gave me a glimpse of them in glory. I mean, there's so many different stories that and things that he has shown me. So how can somebody come and tell me that my Bible ain't real or it's so certain cultures a certain culture is trying to brainwash me and this, that, and the other. Well, then thank God for washing my brain because it needs to be washed.
That's right.
Yeah.
I feel the same way you do too, Pastor Andre. We're here. That's why God calls us witnesses, because we are witness to the reality of who Jesus is. That he is the one true living God. And that's what all Christians should be witnesses to who Jesus really is. And and through experience, not just talk and reading, but experiential knowledge we should all have on who Jesus is. And as the little story my son told on Sunday about him getting into it with another person and how God reprimanded him, it was the reality, because that's totally against his personality to obey. So it was the reality that he had to face of himself and bring it into this realm. I love the way the Lord deals with all of us. And it's so beautiful that he deals with each and every person. We all have our own unique relationships with him, but God is willing to deal with you out there too. He wants to talk to you. He wants to show you in the word what he's saying. And, you know, he wants to give dreams and visions and strong impressions. He just wants us to, what's the purpose of giving someone something? Like if I say I gave someone a diamond ring, and they looked at it and they said, oh, okay, here, you can take that back. You know, I don't really want to look at it or I don't like it. That is the whole thing with the Lord. He's like a diamond. bigger and more than a diamond. And when he shows himself, if we act uninterested in what he's doing and saying, it's no purpose to show you things. And I always hear people say, I need to know what is my ministry, what God wants for me to do, but you're not paying attention to him. When he's giving you stuff, showing you stuff, you got to pay attention. And you have to be interested in him more than what you want from him. Because what you want, he's going to give it to you. You'll get things. You will get what you need. He fulfills all our needs. But he needs a relationship. And like my husband, Pastor T, always says, God created us for one purpose, a relationship. He wanted to mingle with mankind and have a relationship with mankind. Just think about that. The great God of the universe wants to mingle with us. Not that we're something.
Yes.
He wanted a people he can have for himself that he could talk to. He could touch, he could laugh with. Sometimes the Lord, we laugh about different situations, and I take that scripture, God sits in heaven, and he'll laugh at some of the stuff that's going on because he knows it's just foolishness, the foolishness of man.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just all types of emotions and ways that God has about himself that he wants to share with us. And every year, I could say, I've learned something different about the Lord, different than I thought that I knew. You never really know him. You know of him.
Yeah.
Right, Pastor G? You don't know as much as you deal with him. That's why I like to listen to people like Pastor Andre so that I can hear how God dealt with him. I love to hear how the Lord brings his personality through him and shows himself to him. Now, that cell phone thing, that is the most.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up.
Other than a movie, I saw God is Calling on a movie. Other than that, that was unique. I love that.
Right. And just think about that. I was in awe from the time he mentioned that the Lord was texting him from his own phone. Now that's something, you know, and giving you a message, you know, and I always talk about the different ways that God communicates with us, but I never thought of that, him texting us from your own phone,
you know,
while you have your phone with you.
Right, that's right, something. That part, you know,
even
when I can still see it in my mind. The entire setting is like a movie that you can replay it over and over, and I still see it in my mind, and I look at those messages so clearly, and I really wish that I still had the phone, you know what I mean, because it was a powerful, powerful moment, and even when I testify about that, you know, some people might find it hard to believe, but you know, it's fine. If you don't believe, that's up to you. That's your choice. You have that choice to believe or not believe.
Mm-hmm.
But I know what I saw, and I know what I experienced.
Yeah.
And so when
what
I share these things, again, right, it's the experience. Just like with the cancer thing, you know what I mean? I have this big scar down my stomach now, and I showed it, you know, on Sunday because I said to the Doubting Thomas people, you know what I mean, that, this is the scar. This is what they did. You know what I mean, to remove that cancer from my body. So if you are having cancer in your body, trust and believe. If it's the will of God for you to be healed from it or for them to take it out some type of way, if necessary, it will happen, okay? But you have, again, you have to listen to the Lord and please, when the Spirit, a Holy Spirit is speaking to you. I'm guilty of this, and I start with me more than I start with anybody else. I would say quickly, oh, something told me, but I refuse to admit that it was the Spirit of the living God telling me not to do this or not to do that or not to go there or not to say this, and peace be still, keep your mouth shut because it's not the time to speak. And stuff like that, but we never hardly ever want to say it's the Spirit of the living God, but we'll say something told me, You don't want to say the word right. Amen. Because then you have to admit that God is speaking through you and to you.
Absolutely. That's true. You know, Pastor Andre, we have a little more than 3 minutes left. I would like for you to pray for some of our listeners on the line right now, and those listening from their computers as well and on telephone.
Amen. Amen. Well, blessed be the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. To all the listeners and the supporters of this ministry, the pastors, he and his wife, those who are listening and in need of a miracle, accept the miracle right now. Accept the blood of Christ. See, God is an omnipresent God. Whatever your situation is, receive right now from the Holy Spirit of the living God. On whatever part of your body, if it's your eyes, you are healed. If it's your throat, you are healed. If it's your stomach, or if it's the cancer, or whatever it is, you ask in the name of Jesus. As Matthew 18 and 19 says, if you ask anything in my name, touching and agreeing, it shall be done for you by my Father in heaven. And I speak it now over your life, over your children, over your children's children, and their children, to be set free and healed, mainly salvation more than anything, because without confessing Christ as your Lord and Savior, hallelujah, accept Christ as your Lord and Savior. Be healed. Yes. Be made free. Be made free by the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for these listeners. Thank you for these supporters. Thank you for each and every person within the sound of my voice, Lord God. Have your way. Have your way. Show yourself strong like you showed yourself to me. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Have mercy, Lord. Have mercy, Lord. Have mercy, Lord. Open the floodgates of heaven, Lord God, and pour out miracles, Lord God. Miracles upon miracles, dear God. Saturate the people like you saturate this land with your holy presence, that they will be made free and be joyful, that they will be lovers of you, Lord God, that they will have an intimate relationship with you, Lord God. Oh, Father God, let peace abound. Let peace abound like never before in the name of Jesus, the living Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
And then,
Pastor,
you know,
Cecilia,
I just want to tell, just a second, one second. I just want to tell the people that God is always willing to heal. By his stripes, you are healed. And healing is the children's bread. God wants us all to be whole. And he has life more abundantly for us all. I really love you guys came on tonight. I thank the Lord for your healing, the healing power that went out under the sound of Pastor Andre's voice. And we thank you, Jesus, for loving these people and bringing us all together so that you can work through them and us. And I hope you guys enjoyed this program, and we'll see you guys next week. Love you. Bye-bye.
Love you.
God bless you guys. Bye-bye.